I start with physical dramaturgy and start with reading a quote by the French choreographer Boris Charmat. I've actually never worked with him, but he wrote a book on practice in 2003, and it contains a few chapters on dramaturgy. And when I read this quote, it totally blew my mind somehow, or it changed very much my view upon choreography and dance, but also upon dramaturgy. So I quote Charmat: "The scenographic and dramaturgical context is not elaborated alongside dance. In this sense, it is not what one would normally call a context. So the light and the music do not color a dance that remains both fulfilled and itself. The context is not around, it is not an addition, even less surroundings for the movement. It changes its meaning, it is inside of it." Unquote. Just the idea that context is inside instead of around was puzzling enough for me, but I interviewed him about it, and he explained this a little further. Quote: "Things that go beyond the mere image of a moving body are constantly drawn upon. It is all about the whole history attached to a gesture, its cultural embeddedness, and its reception in the theater. As a dancer, you are permanently organizing your inner space by incorporating the space, the light, the cultural framework, and so on. It is therefore not a feeling that adds itself to gesture, but on the contrary, it changes everything you do internally, and at the very moment itself. So, the dramaturgy and the whole meaning potential are already contained in the gesture the whole time." End of quote. So for Charmat, dramaturgy is intertwined with the body, and meaning is a matter of embodiment and embeddedness. So it's a truly physical dramaturgy that, in this quotation at least, remains also active on stage and incorporates also the perspective and the projections of the viewer. But, and this is important to understand his poetics, it works in an archaeological sense. So if you bring material into the studio, even before you start working with it or framing it, so to speak, it contains a whole lot of meaning and meaning potential. So it's a matter of digging into it and looking closer, which goes for movement and for other materials. So dramaturgy is a process of close reading, according to dramaturgy, and I would like to, according to Charmat, and I'd like to pursue that a little. If you compare this notion to a traditional understanding of dramaturgy, that would be and creating meaning by framing the movement material, by contextualizing it, by coloring it with discourse. That's how I thought in the beginning, when I started 10 years ago as a dramaturg, very much about how it goes. You sit there and the dancers do stuff, and actually you're there to help the choreographer organize the thing, and then it will become meaningful. After reading this quotation, I started to question that, and now I don't endorse this notion anymore at all. So such a view, the traditional one, tends to reproduce in a sense a practice-theory divide and also modernist specialization and distribution of knowledge and hence of power as underpinning of clear roles for the choreographer and the dramaturg. This is discussed also by people like André Lepecky. I won't go much further into this. I'd like to retain another element from Charmat. He focused on the exploration of material itself, and only via that way of the arguments, the frames, the canons, the institutions, etc., that granted intelligibility. So it therefore resists dramaturgy as a didactic tool reaching out towards the viewer, and it resists even meaning as something fixed and clear. So material is something that resists meaning rather than only producing meaning interests me, especially from a perspective of dramaturgy. Two questions. So how can one, through the analysis of culture at work within the material, so the idea of archaeology, discover the inner logic of the process and the piece in the making? So not only to dive or look closer into the material, but then also treat the process as such. And two, can material have a right in itself, and how to turn that into a dramaturgical strategy, perhaps a self-resisting dramaturgy? Over the years, this notion of physical dramaturgy, and it's also under that banner that I'm teaching, I've developed that notion together with the choreographer Martin Nachbar in Germany. And we're often teaching together to really say, okay, we're not like theory and practice or dramaturgy choreography, but we're really developing an intertwined practice and teaching that also. And exhausting the meaning of what is already there, as soon as you put a gesture or any material into the space, is very central. I give two examples to see, to give a sense of where it could come from. In terms of archaeology and the example of Sharmatz, one of the first workshops we gave was about horizontality, but we started just with the idea of the standing body and the lying body as two extremes, and all movement in between, like falling, stumbling, etc., could be read somehow from that frame. So we thought, let's start with that. And of course, the associations already after an hour, we had a whole bucket full. A standing body hosts a whole array of quotidian associations, but it is also the position of a viewer in a museum in front of sculptures or paintings. It is a bodily position that functions as an analogon for the image. It relates in that sense to a certain tradition of ideal viewing and certain position. It is a stance, an upright stance resisting gravitation. It relates to architecture, verticality, and proscenium frame of the theater, and so on. So in a sense, as soon as you make a body topple or stumble on stage, all that meaning resonates along. And in the end, we ended up just exhausting the standing body for 2 weeks. We didn't even move on because that one idea was enough to work 2 weeks with. If you take the lying body, it's associated with rest, sleeping, or death, with gravitation, the horizontal plane of the dance floor. Somehow I find in physical dramaturgy these two poles interesting because we tend to connect the standing body and the lying body with theater and dance as two kind of traditions, and in the workshop frame it works very well to negotiate those traditions. In the quotation, Sharmatz is a bit unclear what material he would be reading, but he speaks mostly about movement, though I think we need to extend the notion material to source materials as well. So an extent exhaustive reading to texts, images, and any kind of material brought into the creation process. And importantly, to go beyond this notion of discourse framing movement material, we need to address also these philosophical, literary, and other texts, theory and concepts as material. So as something to tinker and work with, as something that can be used also as a choreographic score, and not only as something to construct an argument with. So to look for the material, so also again the embodied character of discourse and concepts. Exercises we do to make this work within a workshop context or also within a creation. When it comes to text, to read it on three different levels. You can indeed read the text's argument, and when you're reading a philosophy text, it's actually good to clarify terms, discursive context sometimes. But two, you can also do literal reading. So a focus on the language used, spatial and corporeal metaphors, and three, to actually, when you make a list of all these features, to do them. So to go over to physical reading, which takes the literal reading to the dance floor. And if you think of philosophers like Merleau-Ponty, Sloterdijk, Deleuze, a kind of bodily related philosophy used often in dance. Actually, we know about Deleuze that he practiced and spoke about tennis, but mostly I guess he wrote his books behind his desk. So to put these bodily thoughts and metaphors to the test physically is an interesting strategy, choreographically speaking. So if you come from these two sides, reading the source material and reading also the physical material, after a while there is a back and forth going on in which the physical reading of a text, for instance, becomes movement material, which is made into a scene or a little dance or a lecture demonstration or an exercise or an operation, depending on the task, which can be read again exhaustively, and so on. So I think the dramaturgical process of reading on all these levels is actually situated in the back and forth. So theory and practice become embedded in the very choreography or in the very material produced within the process. And to be sure, it gains also a life of its own that moves beyond the idea of archaeology, so into the imaginary and into new spaces of meaning. Because unclear with Sharmatz is he speaks about archaeology, but it's totally phantasmal also. There is no strict sense of how to read material also. Going, so to speak, back in time is also very much a mental activity. So it leads to various ways of digesting, unfolding, articulating material, conceptually, formally, spatially. It also means, and there we move a bit from material to the process, that you take things seriously, even the stupid ideas. So if you're brainstorming and you put a lot of stuff on the table, you can exhaust all the materials instead of going for the ideas that you know in advance will work or that you already know. So it is research-driven and grants a certain autonomy to the artistic process, even independent of the piece that will be its outcome. So I think that the piece is an outcome of a process, which is something else than saying that the process will lead towards the piece. I think that's important, to grant a certain autonomy to the process. So that's a claim I'd like to keep here, is the process has a right in itself. It has an internal logic that helps one move beyond the canon, beyond fixed positions, and beyond what one already knows. Still, how do you go about collecting material and where to start? Because swimming in the ocean is something else than saying, okay, let's map out the area around the beach or so. And indeed, a key for reading and collecting and selecting and developing material is also related to thematic research, so that you symbolically mark a theme. And on the other hand, some reading keys might be intrinsic to the material, like the example of the standing body I gave. I think that many dramaturgs are material blind. They are obsessed with over-investing it with meaning, not only from this archaeological practice of exhaustive reading, but from an outsider's position, from an ideal viewing position, which is very much projected. So I would say that the very materialness of the material, whatever that is, is their blind spot, which stands in opposition to the ideal piece. So for me, material is connected more to process, to exploration, and to the position of the performer. And I think in that sense, it might have to do, the notion of material, with how dance and choreography can work, function dramaturgically in a different way than theater does. And material is also a word that dancers use all the time. An interesting anecdote is like the French translation of my book on Max Stewart. The translator didn't know how to translate the word material, which is returning on every page. And I had quite a few discussions whether it would be translated as matière, matériau, matériel, and so on, and quite interesting. So I started to think more about what is it actually, this material, apart from just an umbrella term that has a kind of vagueness that is also practical. But I think it subverts somewhere what is usually understood as subject matter. So the material is not only something that serves an argument or a certain theme or meaning, but it's also stubborn because it's embedded meaning. And that aspect I would like to bring into dramaturgy as well. So what constitutes dramaturgy is not only the construction of an argument, but a shared fiction or concept as sedimented in particular images, movements, practices. And they are peculiar to a specific process. I'd like to add one more complication. If you bring the material and the process together, and discussing these two ideas of the traditional dramaturg framing material and then the more physical dramaturgy and looking for material as a right in itself, there are other kind of scenes that people say, spectators are like, oh, it was too long, oh, that scene was too superfluous, and so on. So that kind of material, that is excess material, that has only a life for the performers and the collaborators themselves, and not necessarily for the spectator, how can that be given a place? It can become a burden, to be sure, but it also has potential, and it can become a strategy. I think, and that's the history of the material is important here, that the material includes a performance perspective and history with the creative process in the piece and the performance eventually, and therefore a heterogeneity that questions the ideal viewing position of the spectator, and hands of the first spectators as well, the choreographer and the dramaturg.